Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now on the SDCCU hotline, television, radio. He's on Sirius XM MLB Network Radio. He writes books. He's on Fox Sports San Diego, and he writes for Bleacher Report. The one, the only, Scott Miller, joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. Scott, how are you?
Hey, good. Rich, Ryan, nice to be with both of you.
Thanks
for that nice introduction. The book, by the way, I appreciate you mentioning that. And, you know, the publisher just licensed it to a publisher in Japan. So I guess it takes about 2 years, but 90% Mental will be available all over Japan within the next couple of years as well.
All right. So can I ask a favor? When the book comes out and it's translated into Japanese, I'll buy the copy. I won't even ask for a freebie. I'll buy the copy, but I need you to autograph the Japanese version of the book.
Deal. Except as long as you don't expect me to sign my name in Japanese, because I won't be able to write in Japanese.
Practice makes perfect,
Practice
Scott.
Makes perfect. I think you could do it. All right, let's talk a little Padre baseball, a little Major League Baseball. We've been talking all morning about Paddock Day, how special it is to watch this kid. Give me your thoughts on Paddock right now, just a baby, 9 games into his big league career, and the ceiling that you see for him.
Well, yeah, it's a combination of things. First, obviously, you watch him take the mound, you watch him work hitters. There's the stuff is there, the dominance is there, the confidence is there. You know, I love the way he shows up at the ballpark on the day he pitches, you know, wearing his coat and tie and cowboy hat, and, you know, he's all business. You know, there's not any, you know, he's got the look, the eyes, like the look of an assassin when he arrives at the ballpark. Then he goes out and does it. So that's the one thing. And second thing is, you know, people I talk to all over baseball, scouts and other executives, you know, just, you know, rave a kid. And, you know, that's especially when you know you have something special. I think in this game, you know, people from other organizations can always be so critical, like, oh, yeah, you see what the Mets are doing, which, by the way, we could talk about them for the next 3 days, as incompetent as the Mets are. But, you know, that's how it is. People are like, oh, you see what the Mets are doing, you see this. With Paddock, it's all compliments and flowers and balloons and positive things. And I can't tell you how many scouts I've talked to that saw him as a minor leaguer in the Marlins organization before the Padres theft. And they just still can't believe the Marlins let him go.
So do you think, Scott, that Paddock is an ace? Is he a number one? Or do you think that he's a guy who falls into that, you know, maybe a one, but probably a two category? Do you think he's an ace?
Yeah, no question. I think, again, what we've seen, so it's hard to judge. I mean, it's only 9 starts in a major league career. So a lot can happen. And, you know, but I say, yeah, definitely ace for a couple of reasons. One, what we've seen so far. And secondly, what makes me confident in saying definitely ace is not just the 9 starts we've witnessed so far, but what I said a little bit ago about talking to people throughout the game, scouts and people that have seen him from the time he was in the Marlins organization to now, and the way that, you know, I don't know if I've talked to anybody who says, you know what, I think this kid's overrated. I mean, everybody you talk to in the game says the Padres have something special. So, yeah, I think, you know, with good health, and that's always the thing, right? But if he stays healthy, you know, I mean, I don't want to put too much on him, but yeah, if he stays healthy, you're talking, you know, Cy Young conversations in the future. You're talking, yeah, no, you know, far and away number one ace. all of that, I think.
We're talking right now with Scott Miller joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Of course, you can see him as part of the coverage on Fox Sports San Diego. You can hear him on MLB Network Radio. You can read him on Bleacher Report. You can find him in a bookstore. He's basically got baseball cornered as far as the coverage of our national pastime. I say that because he's a good friend of mine. I'm looking for some comps, right, of Paddock of his makeup. And you and I have been around the game for a long time. I saw David Price come up as a rookie. I saw Mulder, Zito, Hudson come up as rookies. I've seen a lot of rookies come into the big leagues. And we always look for a comp of what this guy might turn out to be like someday. But I'm struggling to find a comp to compare to Chris Paddock in this early stage of his career.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm just trying to think. I mean, this isn't a comp, but, you know, who he looks like coming into the ballpark with his, you know, beard and his dead serious look. And I will repeat, because I don't want to make Padres fans nervous, this is not a comp, but just facially tall build reminds me a little bit of Andrew Cashner, just physically. But there again, back to Ryan's question about is he a true ace or not, you know, Cashner had great stuff and he had the look, but he was totally inconsistent on the mound. And he, you know, early in his career, at least, there was a time when the Padres thought he maybe was going to be an ace shortly after they got him from the Cubs in the ill-fated Anthony Rizzo deal. And, you know, he would flash for one or two games ace stuff, but he was inconsistent and he didn't have that steely demeanor on the mound. Things would rattle him. So that's why I say physically a little bit like Cashner, but it's like miles and miles and miles apart in terms of the way Paddock, his stuff, and not just stuff, but the way he harnesses it and is consistent and adjusts batter to batter to batter. In terms of, you know, you think of some big right-handers on the mound. Rich, that's a good question. Nobody jumps to mind. I mean, you know, in terms of the overpowering stuff, and you think right-hander, you know, I mean, I think a little bit about Curt Schilling. But, you know, Paddock's taller, and, you know, Schilling had the bad body. He was, you know, he had to work to stay in shape and kind of keep that baby fat off, and he didn't really do that until later in his career. You know, in terms of, you know, otherwise, you know, the big, tall right-handers. Yeah, I'm going to think about that one.
Yeah, Roy Halladay was the build comp for him that I got from some people projecting a few years down the road. Obviously, he's not as muscular as Halladay was, but that was the one that some people told me. The other 23-year-old on the Padres roster I want to talk about, because we were discussing potential all-stars from this team, I mean, who's going to wind up being an all-star. Franmil Reyes is starting to put himself in that conversation with the way he can hit the ball.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it seems like about every other day, you know, Franmil pops a 2 or 3-run homer, doesn't it?
Right, and it's usually in a big spot.
That's the other thing. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was up in Anaheim the other day having lunch Sunday with a couple of scouts before the Angels-Royals game. And we were talking about the Angels roster and about, you know, some injuries. And we're talking about Justin Upton being out for 3 months with turf toe or whatever. And we're talking about kind of the way Upton's career hasn't always matched up. I mean, he was looked at for a while one of the better sluggers in the game, but yet he's a streaky hitter, as Padre fans remember from when he was here. And he would go, like, he'd go for maybe a 10-day stretch where, you know, he'd hit 4 or 5 home runs and he'd carry the team. And then he'd go quiet for a couple weeks. Anyway, by the end of the season, it seems like Upton always has his 20 or 25 homers and maybe 80 or 90 ribbies. But here's the key, and this brings me back to what you said about Franmil. He just never has become a dominant player. Upton hasn't. And this scout was saying, for him, you know, you look, he said, I'd be interested to know how many of Upton's home runs have come after the 7th inning, because – while his numbers are there at the end of the year, it just seems like so many of those homers have come. You know, his team would be up or down 6-1 or 7-1, and all of a sudden Upton had hit a homer. And in other words, a little bit more like a stats collector more than hitting homers and big hits in meaningful situations. And you're right, Reyes is the complete opposite of that, and it does seem, I mean, he's hit some game winners. He seems like most of his home runs, come when the Padres really need it. You know, close games, 1-1, you know, they're losing by a run. You know, the interesting thing with him, of course, now is going to be is he's developing this reputation. I think no question around the league, people are standing up and noticing this guy, and you're right. He will, you know, he very well could be an all-star this year. So the question now is going to become, as his reputation grows just about as big as he is physically, what do other teams do now when they see him for the second time or when a club sees him for the first time, but they've already got all the scouting reports? So, you know, I found it interesting last night was that late in the game, Archie Bradley, I think, was on the mound and struck him out on that high inside fastball. And, you know, I was out of the strike zone. But, you know, Franmil, as he walked back to the dugout, as soon as he swung, he knew, you know, and he jerked his head in disgust. And, you know, he knew he had let himself get out of the strike zone and swing at a fastball that was too high and too inside, and it got him. And, you know, it was good to see him instantaneously in the moment recognize what he had done. And that's the kind of stuff he's going to have to continue to do as he adjusts and as the league, you know, begins to want no part of him.
Scott Miller joining us right now on the SDCCU hotline from Bleacher Report. All right, Scott, you know me. I'm not afraid to go out on a limb and say something that I really, really believe in. I'm saying this morning, San Diego needs to get behind, start a little buzz that can catch on and go virally nationally about Paddock in an all-star game consideration. I'm not saying that he deserves to be an all-star game all-star team member, but he deserves to have his name in that conversation. How far out on a limb am I?
No, I mean, no question. I think you look at his numbers. He's definitely in the all-star conversation. I don't think you're over your skis there, Rich, my friend. I think you're,
which I am often, so you know that.
That's right. But I think in this one, you're fine. I think Paddock certainly, what he's done so far is absolutely warranted discussion among the potential National League All-Star pitchers. It's May 21st. We'll see over the next week and the last week of May and then, you know, the month of June. That's part of the fun, by the way, of especially when you reach a rebuilding, the stage the Padres are at right now. You know, the painful part of the rebuilding is the past 2 or 3 years when, you know, the team's out of it by the end of April and you're just running one player after another through the lineup and through the rotation. You know, now, you know, not saying that, you know, they're playoff favorites or anything yet, but they've reached a point of the rebuild where they've got some very interesting young players up and some obvious talent. So now this is where, to me, the process becomes fun because now you get to watch guys like Paddock and when he comes back, Fernando Tatis Jr., and it's still a wide-open canvas, right? As we talked about, Paddock's just 9 starts into his career. You know, what can he do next time? What's he going to do to start after that? You know, how's he going to handle June and into July? And that's the stuff that kind of keeps you riveted on the day-to-dayness of a baseball season. And, yeah, I mean, if he keeps doing what he's doing, then no question he's going to be talked about as in terms of a potential all-star. And, the only bad thing with him to me is, you know, when you reach, as we've talked about also, everybody knows that innings limit is going to be looming over him at some point later this year, you know, because obviously a couple of years off Tommy John surgery, Padres will protect him and his agent, Scott Boras, will make sure he's protected. But yeah, for now, sky's the limit, definite ace potential, definite conversation with the All-Star game.
Scott, thank you very much for joining us. I'm working on my Japanese translation so I could figure out how to read the book in Japanese. I appreciate you coming on with us, and we will catch up with you again very, very soon.
Sounds good. Hopefully it sells a little bit in Japan. I've heard the baseball market's pretty darn good over there.
You know, one of the books, and I'll leave you with this real quick. One of the books, and you've been to the Ted Williams Museum before, correct?
I haven't. Florida. I need to get there.
One of the books they have is Sadahata O has The Science of Hitting that he had as a little kid, and it's in his display case inside the Ted Williams Museum that a lot of American baseball books, especially instructional kind, were translated, and that's one that almost every hitter from Ichiro to Sadahata O to Akinori Iwamura, they all had as little kids. They read The Science of Hitting by Ted Williams translated into Japanese.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that Williams Hitting Museum is a place. That's one of a few places I think that I haven't gotten to in the baseball world. And yeah, I need to see that. That's pretty cool. And that's Sadahara. Oh, there's a name. And that's awesome.
That's awesome. Hey, thanks for joining us. I'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Thanks, Ryan.
Take care. Scott Miller, Bleacher Report, joined us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Save with high yield certificate account from SDCCU. For details, visit SDCCU.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.